from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor, 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to what is a Wednesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, and the always free Odyssey app. 888-710-4ISN is the number to jump on in. That's 888-710-4476. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That is Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. We got a jam-packed Wednesday draft show for you. We'll take you all the way up until 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific time. Ryan Hot Take Hickey will join us in studio 40 minutes from now, and engage Ryan Hot Take Hickey. And he also caught, I guess, a baseball at a game last night. So what do you think's more important, Stu? Do you think it's us asking him about catching the baseball, or him finally having the courage to get down on one knee and ask his longtime girlfriend to now marry him and eventually be his wife? What do you think it is?
Baseball, for
yeah?
sure.
Samter, you go baseball or engagement? Which one?
I mean, you got to go engagement, but you can't forget his birthday also.
Yeah.
This is having the best week ever.
I'm sorry.
Engaged, birthday, baseball?
A 31st birthday, so what? If it was a milestone birthday, different. When I look at this, engagement, baseball, birthday, I think you would rank it baseball catch, engagement, and then also his birthday. If Hickey was injected with truth serum, that's what I think he would say. Instead, he's a nice, polite liar, so he will get on the air and go, oh, it's definitely the engagement, the baseball, and then also the birthday. I do wonder, though, did he have more of a smile after catching the baseball or more of a smile after getting down on one knee and asking his girlfriend, now fiance, who's soon to be his wife, to marry him? Because they've been dating for 6, 7, 8 years?
Eight. He told me it was eight years.
8 years. Well, Hickey does think long and hard about things before he sits there and actually makes up his mind. But
except his takes.
Yeah, oh, jeez. That wasn't nice. This guy just got engaged. This guy, it's his birthday, a big birthday he just celebrated, his 31st birthday, and he just caught a baseball. And you got to rain on his parade? And you got to go after him? What, are you going to start calling him Hot Take Hickey next or something like that? Jeez, Samter.
He set the ball up on the tee.
Yeah. And you know what? You hit it out of the park. You definitely got up there, and you were like a golfer, or maybe you were like one of these guys that use those torpedo bats in baseball. You smashed that thing right out of the park. There is no doubt about that. I think, though, if Hickey's being honest, in terms of happiness, I do think baseball, catching the baseball, he probably had a bigger smile then getting down on one knee and say, Lolly, Lauren, you know, will you marry me? Because he knew the answer was going to be yes. A well-placed source told me. They went ring shopping together. So you're not going ring shopping together if she's going to say no, unless if the girl that Hickey was getting engaged to is just really a twisted human being, which she's a very nice girl. But I don't think you go ring shopping with one to just say no. So you knew that you were getting the yes. The baseball, you walk into a baseball stadium, and I'm assuming Hickey didn't have good seats. You know.
Wow.
Upper deck. You know, he said upper deck seats.
Anytime Hickey goes to a game, he's a man of the people. He's blue collar. He's not sitting in a luxury box like me. He's not sitting there eating shrimp and sushi during a baseball game. He's not field level. Hickey's putting the hard hat on, and he's going, you know, to the 300 level, the 400 level, the 500 level. So I don't know how he caught this, but you said, Stu, that it was all the way up or
yeah,
pretty good way up?
His tweet said third level, so I assume that means upper deck.
How do you think Hickey will handle today, just wondering? Because he came on this show a month ago, and I asked him to play in that charity kickball tournament, and you would have thought he was seeing ghosts. You would have thought he was Sam Darnold up against the Patriots when Sam Darnold was on the Jets. Man, I didn't think we were going to start the show talking 5 minutes about Hickey, but whatever, we'll do it today. You know, what do you need? Take about Cooper Flagg or Dylan Harper or Ace Bailey or Jason Kidd? You know, we'll get to those in a few seconds.
Just means we have to have less time with Hickey when he comes in.
Oh, that's good. Then do you want me to go to 45 and then we'll take our first break? Be like when Jim Rome used to host on this network, how the clock was all over the place. What the heck was I just about to say? Well, we were just talking about something, and then I was rudely interrupted.
Talking too much about Hickey rather than the draft?
No.
He has to explain himself for the kickball.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Stu. Checks and balances, Stu. I could always rely on you. So Hickey was as white as a ghost sitting there when I said, oh, are you? When was the kickball? Was it June 20th or 21st? Or did I just get none of those dates right? You got anything?
Yeah, Saturday's the 21st. I think about it too,
21st. So I said, oh, you available June 21st? And he's like, nope, can't do it. And I go, what do you mean you can't do it? Here I am extending you an invite to a four-time Pro Bowlers charity kickball tournament. Deion Dawkins, one of the highest paid left tackles in the NFL, great human being. And we got a crew assembled here from 345 Hudson Street. You know, people that weren't going to tear their patella tendon this year are going to run away like Maggie and Perloff did the moment when someone gets injury and face a little adversity. And Hickey big time me. And he goes, I can't make it. I go, and I just said it. I just go, what, are you getting engaged? Because we'd always used to joke when Hickey and I worked together, oh, you know, when are you getting engaged? And you know who actually started that joke? Ack. Ack, like 4 years ago, walked up to Hickey, all right, chief, when are you getting engaged? And when I said that to Hickey, he started stuttering. He started just getting whiter. And he goes, no, I'm not getting engaged. And then we find out at the kickball tournament, Stu whispers to me, yeah, how lame is it that Hickey didn't show up? Did you ever find out what happened? And Stu goes, oh, you were right. He is getting engaged. So I do wonder how Hickey is going to address this coming up at 3:40 p.m. Eastern time today. Because he lied to us. Now, I could kind of understand it because, God forbid, his girlfriend was listening. And then you ruin the whole surprise and all that. But Stu, like, you couldn't have pushed back the engagement a week. You already knew you were getting engaged. She went ring shopping with you. I thought Hickey should have really showed us his loyalty to the show and the loyalty to the network and pushed back the engagement by a week, right?
It's been 8 years. What's another week?
100%. 100%. Let me know when you go home later and you use that line on Angie.
Will
that
do.
Works for you. If you want me to DoorDash you some food tonight when you're sleeping on a couch, or maybe she gives you the bowl for the cat or something, or she makes you sleep in the litter box, just drop me a pin. I'll come save you there, Stu, tonight. All righty. This is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I will be at the draft tonight. Make sure you get me a little follow on Instagram and Twitter at Zach Gelb. We'll get you all the behind-the-scenes access to the NBA draft. The Dallas Mavericks, let's start with them. They're the number one pick in this draft. Nico Harrison, every day when he gets out of bed, he should drop to both knees. He should look up at the sky, and he should say, thank you, God, for getting me the number one overall pick. Because 2-3 months ago, when he elected to trade Luka Doncic, that was as dumb of a deal that I have ever seen in sports. Luka Doncic, you know, we also had Rafael Devers recently, but at least there was a reason for Rafael Devers. Rafael Devers was being a malcontent in the locker room. Luka Doncic wanted to be a Dallas Maverick for the rest of his life. Luka Doncic gave no indication that he wanted to leave the organization. And not only do you get rid of him, Luka, who's arguably a top five, top seven player in the league, but you get back what? Anthony Davis? A first-round pick? Desmond Bane just went for 4 first-round picks. Mikal Bridges has gone for 5 or 6 first-round picks. I know we overvalue first-round picks in the NBA. There's no doubt about that. But when you're trading a player like Luka Doncic, you would have thought you would have got a king's ransom, and they didn't. But when they traded Luka Doncic, that fan base, there was apathy. Those fans were hopeless. Those fans were dejected. They were demoralized. And quite frankly, they waved the white flag. But then during the postseason, when they're doing the draft lottery and the ping pong balls, or however it goes down now, when they fall their way and they get the number one overall pick, even though it doesn't cure, and even though it doesn't change what happened with Luka, it could get you to buy back in again. And they redid this whole Kyrie Irving contract, right? He opts out, then they agree to the 3 years, $118, $119 million, whatever it was. Stephen A. Smith, I heard him on ESPN this morning. He thinks Kyrie Irving is underpaid with the Mavericks. The guy's hurt. And the guy's been a pain in the ass in a lot of locker rooms across the NBA. The guy's making, what, $39, $40 million a year? I think Kyrie Irving's going to be all right at this stage of his career. But you have Anthony Davis, you have Kyrie Irving, and now you're going to have Cooper Flagg. And that at least brings hope back to the organization. But you know what's fascinating to me? And if you go through this, and Stu, if I ask you this, the biggest storyline in the draft tonight, you would say it's probably Cooper Flagg, right?
I mean, yes, but we know what he's, we know where he's going.
But at least like, in terms of the generational talent,
yeah,
right?
Definitely Cooper Flagg by far.
Like
yes.
5 years from now, when you're talking about this draft, whether it was good or bad, the first player you're going to bring up is Cooper Flagg.
Definitely.
Then after that, go ahead and say what you were about to say, because I do agree after that.
I think after that, it's the intrigue of Ace Bailey.
And where the heck is this guy going to go?
Yeah.
As he's trying to dictate who he gets drafted by. So that's very intriguing to me. But when you get through the NBA draft, you know what I think is also a massive storyline? Now I'm going to be there. You know, Stu, you're going to have a different luxury than I am, because you're going to be, assuming that Angie lets you in the house tonight, you're going to be on the couch, you're going to be watching this draft. And when you have the draft panel, and I'm looking at it right now on ESPN, Shams Charania is there. So, okay, first pick, the Philadelphia 76ers. First pick, the Dallas Mavericks select Cooper Flagg. Second pick, the San Antonio Spurs select Dylan Harper out of Rutgers. When you're in between those picks, one of the conversation pieces that I'm fascinated by, and Shams Wright is going to be giving you the intel, is going to be giving you the info, and this doesn't only have to be draft. It could be trades that could be happening. But I think something else that's going to be fascinating is how often do they bring up the Knicks coaching search? Because think about what could happen tonight. We had Scoopy Robinson on yesterday. Scoopy Robinson said Jason Kidd's dream job is to be the coach of the Knicks. That's his dream job. Now he has to find a way to get there and get out of his deal with Dallas. Well, Dallas is the number one overall pick. So after Cooper Flagg gets drafted, you spend your 3-4 minutes talking about Cooper Flagg. And then you look at the team and you talk about the team. All right, when Kyrie Irving comes back, you have Kyrie and Cooper Flagg, and you got Anthony Davis, right? And then inevitably the coach is going to come up. Well, is the coach seriously interested in staying as the coach of the Dallas Mavericks? Is he willing to walk away from coaching Cooper Flagg in order to go and coach the Knicks and try to go get to the NBA Finals next year? That's a big question. And I'm fascinated by what the intel is going to be on Shams Charania and what he has in regards to this Knicks coaching search. I really think three guys could get the Knicks job right now. Jason Kidd, Mike Brown, Taylor Jenkins. One of those three guys, I believe, is going to be the next coach of the Knicks. And for Mike Brown, the Knicks don't have to wait right now. For Taylor Jenkins, the Knicks don't have to wait right now. So why are they waiting? I think they're waiting to see if Jason Kidd is going to be a snake in the grass and sliver his way to the Big Apple here in New York City. And don't tell me he's not capable of doing it. Jason Kidd, and I say this, Jason Kidd was my favorite player as a kid growing up in the NBA. Jason Kidd was a coach killer as a player. Jason Kidd, then when he became the head coach of the Brooklyn Nets, he tried to win a power play with Billy King and forced his way, when he wasn't going to win it, to the Milwaukee Bucks. So don't tell me that it's beneath Jason Kidd. And right, Jason Kidd is too good to try to force his way to a situation that he may deem better. But if they didn't have the number one overall pick, I think Jason Kidd's already the next coach. I do. But the fact that they have the number one overall pick in Dallas, it makes it a difficult decision. So I still think right now that Mike Brown's going to be the coach of the Knicks. But if it's not Mike Brown, I would then say probably two, it's going to be Kidd and then Taylor Jenkins three. But one of those three guys, I think, are going to be the next head coach of the New York Knicks. And what intel Shams has on the future Jason Kidd is fascinating to me. So the Mavs are definitely fascinated heading into tonight. You know they're picking at one, but it's who's going to be coaching this team this upcoming year. And like, let me ask you a question, Sam. You've been around this a long time. So I'm going to the draft tonight, and when after Cooper Flagg gets drafted, right, they parade him on the floor. He'll do an interview with ESPN. He'll do an interview with ESPN Radio, Sirius, blah, 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 blah. Then I'll go to the press conference room. So when I'm at the press conference room, what do you think is the better question to ask tonight? Hey, Cooper, Zach Gelb here, Infinity Sports Network. Nice to meet you.
Pleasure's all mine.
You got it. Yeah, you should be honored to be in the same room as me. No, I wouldn't do that. Question one is this. This organization, their fan base, lost hope in the organization once they traded Luka Doncic. You are now viewed as the person that's going to bring the hope back. What's your message to Dallas Mavericks fans who maybe lost faith in the organization and look to you to bring them back in? That's question one. Or question two. Hey, Cooper, We're in New York right now. There's a lot of speculation on the possibility of Jason Kidd becoming the next head coach of the New York Knicks, even though he's under contract with the Dallas Mavericks. Have you talked to Jason? What have your conversations be like? And in your heart, do you believe he's going to be coaching you this upcoming season? What do you think is the better question to ask?
I like the second one. The message to the fans is nice, but he'll have weeks and months to answer that. This feels a little bit more timely with the Jason Kidd. Just don't give him a yes or no where he can just like, do you think he's going to leave? No. Just say, how would you feel if Jason Kidd left? Or would you be disappointed if Jason Kidd left? Or something along those lines.
Yeah, you know what I'm going to do? I'm definitely going to give him a yes or no.
Okay.
And then I'll follow up if he just one words me.
Yeah.
You know, if he gives us a Lenora Sellers answer from yesterday, I'll just, I'll follow up and ask about a few other questions. So I think that's something. It's a weird thing to ask because the guy's just getting drafted. For example, if I get that microphone first, it's not the first thing I'm asking because that's just uncomfortable. But you sit there and you get a lot of these media members who just ask some of the worst questions. I've been there to enough of these drafts. And eventually there is a time where that question's going to be right to ask tonight. You know, do you really believe that you're going to be coached by Jason Kidd? You know, what do you make of these rumors of him potentially, you know, not even coaching you in Dallas and going and coaching the New York Knicks? So that's something on the table. All righty. So we just took the Mavericks off the table. Let's go around the room. Who is an NBA team whose future really intrigues you? Let's start off with Stu.
All right, mine is the team that is picking second tonight, and that is the San Antonio Spurs. Obviously, we all think they're going to draft Dylan Harper with that pick, but after that, it's kind of going to be like, okay, can they still fetch a star like Giannis in the future, maybe a Jaylen Brown type of guy? Maybe it's this year, maybe it's next year, but how they're going to build this core around Giannis, I think, to me, is going to be very interesting.
Samter?
I'm going to go with the team I talked about yesterday, the Detroit Pistons.
Wait, you mean the core around Wemby?
Wemby, yes, yeah. Not Giannis.
Gotcha.
Yes.
I was like, you already got Giannis on the San Antonio Spurs?
Championship.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think it's going to happen. Who knows? For me, I'm going to go with the Pistons. Right, the Pistons seemed like one of those teams. They held up with the Knicks. It seemed like they were going to potentially even win that series. Cade Cunningham is a beast. Jaden Ivey looks good. Tobias Harris is there. Jalen Duren. They have one of the Thompson twins, Asar Thompson. That's a rising young team that I think can win a lot faster than we expect them to get to that point.
And you look at the state of the East, that's why I said it the other day, with Halliburton, with Dame, with Jason Tatum, all three probably down for next year. The first two teams that we gravitate towards and who's going to win the East, it's the Cleveland Cavaliers, it's the New York Knicks. Maybe the Philadelphia 76ers could get healthy, but let's not forget about the Magic. Let's not forget about the Detroit Pistons as well. I'm going with the Boston Celtics. So I saw this from Bobby Marks. The Celtics' projected salary cap as of June 15th was $540 million. That was the projected salary and luxury tax, for the Boston Celtics on June 15th. As of June 25th, so that is today, the projected luxury tax and also salary cap for the Boston Celtics, projected salary and luxury tax is the way to say it, $280 million. Look how much they just shedded recently. They said goodbye to Kristaps Porzingis. They said goodbye to Jrue Holiday. Jason Tatum's probably done for the year. And now there's a lot of reporting today that Derek White and Jaylen Brown are available. And I even read one report that Utah was aggressively making a pursuit. And remember, Danny Ainge is there. So he's familiar with, obviously, the Boston Celtics background. But they are aggressively making a pursuit of Jaylen Brown. Like, the Celtics trading Jaylen Brown, I think, would be idiotic. Now, why they would do it is because of all the aprons and everything, and you got new ownership group coming in. But Jaylen Brown is your best player next year. We're going to find out if Jaylen Brown's going to be a number one. Now, he's been a number two in a championship team where he actually won the NBA Finals MVP. But if you get rid of Jaylen Brown, you're punting on next season. So I'm not saying he's untouchable, but you got to get a king's ransom. And with how quickly they're shedding salary and a new ownership group coming on in with the Boston Celtics, I think they are so intriguing. And I have no clue how they're going to approach the rest of this offseason. But I've talked about this before. I've thrown out there, and they probably wouldn't go about it this way because the concept of it is to shed salary. But if you're Boston, don't you call up the Bucks and see if you could do somewhere in a deal Giannis for Jaylen Brown? You'd have to give up more if you're the Boston Celtics. And if you're Milwaukee, yeah, you're losing Giannis, but at least you get a player back like Jaylen Brown. Now, that also means that Giannis wants to leave Milwaukee, which before Bart Winkler calls me in and starts to eviscerate me, I don't think that the Milwaukee Bucks are trading Giannis Antetokounmpo, and I don't think Giannis Antetokounmpo wants to leave Milwaukee yet. Anyway, we'll take a timeout. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. This is going to be supposedly the last year of Aaron Rodgers. But what is it going to look like in Pittsburgh? I'll tell you next. Stu, you know I would never lie to you, right?
Never. Never, ever.
Samter, you know I would never lie to you, right?
I've caught you on so many lies, but yes, I believe you.
When have you ever caught me in a lie?
I mean, yesterday, then there was March 13th, 2024.
Now you're lying about me lying. Anyway, I'm going to bring something here to the forefront. I believe in accountability. And I would probably usually go after someone for this, so I will go after myself first here before the information does come out. I went to the Met game last night. It's 102 degrees when I walked out of here. I took the LIRR, or as the kids say now, the LIR. By the way, these Tuesday nights at Mets games, they do $5 beers and hot dogs. Now, this is when I know that I'm old, or I'm starting to get old. I was appalled last night at the behavior by some in the ballpark. Now, there's a lot more serious issues that we'll get into with behavior at the ballpark coming up later. Those are actually appalling. But how people just go crazy, and they're not even full beers. They're not even full beers. They're like half beers. They're little Coors Light cans. For $5 beers, it's wild. And there was a group of 20 people in front of me. I don't think they were even watching the baseball game. You know, this one group of people, they said, oh, do you mind taking a photo of us? And I took a photo. Then they stood up for like two innings taking photos. And I was very close to saying, hey, if I wanted to watch the TV, because there's a TV by my seats, if I wanted to watch a game on TV, I would have just done this at home. So it was just so ridiculous last night at the ballpark. And it was so hot. And I hate when you're at a game and people just don't care about the game. So anyway, my buddy and I, the inning when the Mets are imploding, they're up 3-0. I think it was the fifth of the sixth. And it's already like 9:30-ish at this point or whatever, 9 o'clock-ish. We're walking around the stadium. We wanted to get Dole Whip. So we get Dole Whip. We wanted to get a little soft serve to kind of cool up a little bit. Problem was, when they gave you the Dole Whip, by the time you ended up paying, half of it was already melted. So we're walking around the stadium. And the Mets, they allow 5 runs or something in that inning, and they go down 5-3. Not an insurmountable lead. But with the way that things are going with this team, I knew the Mets weren't going to win this game. So to get back into the city, I could take the subway, or I could take an LIRR, and the LIRR, less people, 15 minutes, gets me right back into the city, and then I'm home another 10 minutes right from Penn Station. And it was so hot in this ballpark. Just uncomfortably hot last night. I almost felt ill walking around the ballpark. And I said to my buddy, the LIRR leaves in 10 minutes. I go, I'm good if you want to go tonight. And I left the game early. Is that a violation? I'm a partial season ticket holder. It's 102 degrees when I got there, probably 98, 99. Later on in the evening. But the Mets were imploding. It's so freaking hot. I'm uncomfortable. I'm not feeling well. Was that a bad job by me last night leaving the ballpark?
I don't think so. It's a regular season game. You go to a bunch of games. It's not like you go to one or two games a year. Yeah. You go to a bunch of these games. It's not a playoff game. It's not a game in the end of June. Like, no. Come on.
Santer?
I think your reasoning makes it acceptable.
Okay.
You didn't leave just because the Mets were getting smoke-showed. No. You left because it was uncomfortable.
What did you say? They were getting what?
Smoke-showed.
Smoked? You mean smoked?
Yeah, smoke-showed.
A smoke show may have been some of the people that were sitting in front of me that were just trying to get pictures.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
Did you buy them any peanuts? Cracker Jacks?
No, cotton candy? No.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
They were, I would say, out of the age bracket.
Ah, okay.
Yes.
Cougars or
No. They were legal, but they were a little too young.
Yeah, that doesn't work either. But yeah,
if Manny Rodriguez was there, he'd probably say yes.
If you left because the game was a blowout and you were upset, not acceptable. Leaving because it's 102 degrees and you're uncomfortable and it's just whatever, and you have a job the next day, fine. I'm okay
the next
with
day.
It.
Don't start till like 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, I know, but you're up at like 6 a.m. usually, right?
No.
I know.
No.
I text you at like noon, and you're like, oh, yeah, just getting out of bed.
No, that's not true. Another lie you tell.
I don't lie.
Pinocchio Santa right there.
I do have a big nose.
Lying.
I do have a big nose. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And it's just...
Stance, I still got a little bit of a schnoz.
Yeah, it's more of a schnoz than a Pinocchio.
I wouldn't say you have a big nose, but it's a nose. You know, it's not petite, you know?
It is not.
Did you ever think about getting a nose job?
No, I like my nose. I think a nose is the center of your face. It provides character to your face.
It's always interesting on the internet when you see people get work done, and especially things that are very noticeable. And just one day how they're either small or big, and then the next day it's either small or big, you know, depending on what work you're getting done. And now people just release that out of nowhere, and you go, oh, something changed with that person. And you try to figure out when that work was actually done. But anywho, talking about work that has to get done, Aaron Rodgers with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Oh, what a transition that was.
That was fantastic.
That was awesome. That was smooth.
How you pulled that off.
That was the antithesis of Hickey in Central Park from what I was told on Saturday, which Hickey's going to join us coming up in a few moments. Aaron Rodgers, your expectations for him in Pittsburgh. This could be one and done. Well, first off, do you believe that he's actually going to retire after this year? Is the drama whore of Aaron Rodgers says he's not about the drama and he's not about the attention. When he says he probably feels like this is going to be it for him in Pittsburgh, and that's why he signed the one-year deal, which is a load of crap in terms of why he signed the one-year deal. Do you feel like this is the final season of Aaron Rodgers?
I do. I think if there was more interest, I think maybe he would try to stick around for another year, but I think he realizes that there's probably not going to be a lot of interest after this year, including from the Steelers, so that's why I think he's done after this year.
Samter?
I think he's hedging. I think he's saying this is probably it for me because if he has
low
a great
expectations.
Year, yeah, and because if he has a great year and the Steelers are awesome, then like, oh yeah, of course I'll come back for another year. If he says this is definitely it, then he's walking away.
I think he's 88% retired at the end of this season. The 12%, good mental math right off the top of the base. I'm proud of myself there. The 12% as to why I think I leave it open is if a contender suffers an injury at the end of this season that makes a move off their quarterback. Like, if J.J. McCarthy back-to-back years with injuries, then do they get interested in maybe bringing in Aaron Rodgers? Or if Brock Purdy in the offseason suffers a major injury next year, then do they bring in Aaron Rodgers? It'd have to be a team like that.
I'd be surprised if it was a different team. I would think that he has a good, very, very good year with the Steelers, and the Steelers want to bring him back for one more run.
Oh, no, I think it'd be one and done in Pittsburgh.
Interesting.
I actually believe it's one and done in Pittsburgh.
Hand the ball over to Will Howard or Mason Rudolph?
Oh, jeez.
See?
Yeah, no, it's ugly, but that's been the Steelers situation. And here's the thing. How pretty is it going to be in Pittsburgh? I think they're just going to... I think they're a fringe playoff team. I do. I think if everything goes right, they're 10-7. If everything goes wrong, like maybe 7 or 8 wins, but Tomlin usually finds a way when things go wrong to still get you 9 wins or so. So I sit there and I'd say right now, do the Steelers make the playoffs? And I know I've gone back and forth on this. Bills, AFC East champs. AFC North would be the Ravens. South would be the Texans. Chiefs would win the West. Then after that, no one else in the AFC East I'm going to put in the postseason. The AFC North, I'll hold off there for now. The AFC West, I will put the Broncos in. I will put the Chargers in. So that leaves me one more spot, and it's between the Bengals and it's between the Steelers. I'll trust the Bengals offense a little bit more right now. Their defense stinks, though, and the Steelers should have bounced back year defensively. So I would say that they just missed the postseason, but they probably go 9-8 and miss the postseason. All right, this is Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll take a break. We'll find out about Ryan Hickey's engagement. We will get that whole breakdown coming up on Saturday. From what happened on Saturday, we'll come on back in a few moments. And Ack, now you don't have to ask Hickey ever your favorite question.
It's true. Stu's now on the clock.
Oh, boy.
I knew that was coming. I knew that was coming.
You are in the transfer portal real quick. Someone else makes a commitment. Ack is right there.
That's right.
On
you're
Stu.
Next.
Stu,
you're
how
next?
Long have you been dating Angie?
A little over 3 years.
Oh. 3 years. So not as long as Hickey. Hickey dated his girlfriend 8. How long have you been living with Angie?
It'll be 2 years in September.
You're on the clock.
I'm on the clock.
Yeah. Now, this could always be dicey. She has a twin?
She does.
Who has a boyfriend?
Yes.
Who was in the picture before you were in the picture?
Like 5 or 6
Not
years.
Not engaged.
That
Not
buys
engaged
you some
yet.
Time.
That buys you some
yes.
time. So Stu is... He's in the hole, all right? He's not on deck, but he's in the hole.
Well, the other thing, now we could torture Hickey about, come on, when's the wedding? Let's go.
Do you think you'll be invited?
I better be. His parents love me.
I was going to say, your favorite question to ask Hickey actually isn't when you're going to get engaged. You know, am I your parents' favorite person?
Exactly.
Yes.
And am I getting a plus one, too? Or are you going to chintz out on that?
Who's your plus one going to be here?
I don't know. We got time. At this rate, we got time to figure it out, right?
Yeah. Well, maybe you could bring Samter when Samter doesn't get invited to this one.
It's me, for sure.
All righty. Ryan Hickey will join us in studio next. Yes.
And as far as the date, I think there's a discussion to be had that he's already put a poll up about when the date might be.
Yeah.
We can talk about that on the air.
It's got to be June.
I have never got married.
You haven't?
I have not. Now, with that being said, I have been around enough marriages to know Hickey has no say on the actual date. Whenever his fiance wants to get married, that's when they're actually going to get married.
That's right.
So Hickey's little lame radio take, September shouldn't happen because of football, even though he may be right.
Oh,
he's not going to win there.
Yeah,
he's toast. He's toast.
Forget it.
Yes.
Absolutely. And he should be going for June. June's nice.
Hickey's a Penn State guy, the big spot. He don't show up. He's in this kind of argument, he ain't going to be able to show up and win it. Hopefully he shows up on his wedding day. All righty, here's Ack. The piping hot takes of Ryan Hot Take Hickey do not, I repeat, do not reflect the views of the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
It's Hickey at Nice Sunday. I'm combing our hair with Moose Gel Spray. The takes are so hot, hot, hot. Sometimes it's right, usually not. His best segment is coming up next, but you better watch out for the Hickey Head. Hot takes with hair gel on a Sunday night. Hickey's got the taste of probably on a cry. Dropping a teaser for what's coming up next, but you better watch out for the Hickey Heads. Talking Penn State while Stu's smoking Kush. But Hickey is always the number one mush. You will nice and more smack and more sober than Stu. We only joke of us, we like you. But I have to ask, is it true? Is your hair held together by Pace and Luke? Oh, Hickey's takes are coming up next. But you better watch out for the Hickey Hacks.
It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at INF Sportsnet or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag Ask the Pros. Be listening later in the show when we might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. And making his first appearance on the show since he is now an engaged man is Ryan Hot Take Hickey. Hickster, a sincere congratulations to you.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, Z-Man.
So, a few weeks ago, we were sitting here in this studio, and you lied to me for the first time in your life. I sat here and I said, are you available on June 21st to play in a kickball tournament? Deion Dawkins kickball tournament. This wasn't the lie, because you said you weren't available.
That's right.
Which ended up being truthful. But then when I said, what are you doing? You got as ghost white as you could be. As white as a ghost as you could be. And I forget what exactly you said. And I'm sitting there getting ready to play in the first kickball game. And I said to Stu, I go, how about Hickey? You know, we could have used his athleticism on this team.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, no, you're somewhat athletic around here.
Somewhat, fair.
You are a Penn Stater, so when the rounds got bigger, we would expect you to just not play well because you don't show up in the big spots.
Of course.
But
path to throw a dig in there. Can't be all nice sunshine and roses.
I gave you a sincere congratulations.
You did? And you said someone athletic, so I'll take it, 2 for 2.
And Stu goes, you were right. And I said, what do you mean? And he goes, well, I'll tell you now because it's going to be happening in a few hours. But Hickey is getting engaged today. So looking back at that moment a month ago, when I brought that up just innocuously and made the joke like, oh, what are you getting engaged that weekend? You knew you were getting engaged that weekend,
oh,
right?
Of course. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I
thought here, because I remember exactly, because I was mad at myself. Because number one, I thought I made it obvious that I was, and I tried to backtrack. Because the last thing...
You made it completely obvious.
That's what I thought. And so I was like, oh, man, I really blew it. And I was not trying to lie to you or the audience, but I just did not. I was doing. That was the only secret I had. She knew we were getting engaged at some point this summer. She knew what the ring was looking like because we went together.
Ring shopping, yeah.
So, like, the only secret I have is when I'm going to do it. So I really tried my best to make sure she was going to be totally blindsided. And I'm sitting here going, I have a special event. I'm like, oh, boy. Last thing I need is, like, this getting back somehow. Family listened. Maybe she, because she has listened when I'm on with you before.
Oh, that would have been really bad.
So,
well,
like,
that's
oh
why I kind of moved
like,
on from the conversation. Because
I think I blew it.
Because I remember, right, when you worked with me, I knew your girlfriend listened a lot more. But just for your segments, I know that maybe there's a chance she's listening. And when you got as ghost white as you could be, I started saying to myself, I got to move on. Because if I blow this guy's engagement, I would feel just horrible. Absolutely horrible.
No, you did nothing. Again, it was all me. I should have just said, oh, I had a family vacation or something like that. But I'm like, as I'm saying, I have an event that day. I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
And then by that point, I'm kind of already starting to dig my, you know, grave. I'm like, what a stupid answer.
So take us through the whole thing, how this whole all did go down, your engagement.
So we basically went ring shopping like February. And we've like talked, we've been dating for now almost 8 years.
Yeah,
so we've talked
a long time.
Openly like,
thank you, by the way. The overhead on when you would get engaged, I won a lot of money.
Good. I'm glad. I'm glad Son benefited.
Plus 425 was 8 years. It was good money. Threw down 100. Rich man now. Dinner on me.
DK is in big trouble here, huh? Oh, boy. DK being DraftKings.
Yeah, I'm just
making sure.
We have no affiliation to a sponsorship right now in the betting world, so just give free promotion.
Just,
go ahead.
Just making sure.
Yeah.
So planned it out basically April. I was like, all right. We've talked about like we both like to have like a party afterwards, like do it with like no one really around, but like have a party right after. I think it'd be fun, kind of capture the excitement of the moment. So found a rooftop place, an old Penn State bar actually we used to go to a bunch that we liked a lot. So was able to book that. And then she went to a garden kind of by our apartment a little bit that was hopefully kind of off the beaten path. Because, of course, she wanted it in New York City, but did not want a lot of people around, which, as you know, is almost impossible to find anywhere in New York City that's not just crowded. But able to kind of find that. So she had no idea it was coming. Her family was there. She's very excited. I think it worked out as well as it could have went.
But how did you guys end up at the park?
So,
like, was there a story? What was there?
Yes.
Did you have a little riz, as the kids would say?
Story, because, if I just say, hey, let's go to the park and look nice.
Yeah, you're not a parky guy.
No, I am not. Dead giveaway. So, our friend works for High Noon.
Oh.
And specifically Lucky Ones, which is now their new lemonade brand with
Miss Peaches.
Exactly right. So, we said, oh, High Noon's having an event, Lucky Ones in the park, where it's like an adoption dog thing. Miss Peaches is going to be there.
Oh.
A bunch of people from work, you know, it's High Noon sponsored. Like, you should come. It'd be a lot of fun because my girlfriend loves dogs. So she's, Miss Peaches, sure, she's going to be there, of course.
Of course.
So she signs up, or Lee says, I'll be there for sure. So we get to the park. She's a little confused. We're like, oh, let's go down this path instead of this way. She's a little confused by it. Finally get her there, ask her the question. And then afterwards, like, you know, 10 minutes go by, we take a few pictures. She goes, okay, like, so we're going to the event, right? Like, we're going to see Miss Peaches. I said, oh, about that.
She was disappointed that she got engaged because Miss Peaches wasn't there.
And no dogs. She was upset. She was upset. Did not give the ring back upset. Did not break up with me upset. But she bought the story of High Noon, Miss Peaches is going to be in Central Park for a dog adoption. And she thought she was going to be hanging out with all these dogs. That did not happen.
So you know what happens here. You get engaged. And then people are going to start to ask you, you know, when's the wedding?
Right.
But then once you get married, people are then going to say, when are you having kids?
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of times a couple will then get a dog instead. I follow Dave Portnoy a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So he has Miss Peaches, he has Pete, and they just, I guess it's fostering a dog is the right term here, if I'm using that correctly. And it's Pops. Maybe you guys should adopt Pops, the dog. And you could get that off your list right now.
I'm okay for right now.
Oh, okay.
No, just...
Ryan Hickman doesn't like the dogs.
No, I love dogs. I didn't grow up with them, but I'm not anti-dog. Mm-hmm. We live in a very small apartment. Thankfully, she agrees it's too small for a dog.
Yeah.
So we are good for right now. We are good for right now.
How has the reception been at the office with people now knowing that you're engaged?
Very nice.
Yeah.
Everyone's very excited. They give a lot of advice, mostly unsolicited, which is I will listen to and take. But everyone's been very positive so far.
I was a little disappointed, Stu. You know what I wanted to do? We do that paper shredder segment in the NFL season, and we shred teams in the playoffs, you know, that we don't think are going to go to the postseason. and then eventually teams that aren't going to win the Super Bowl. I wanted to bring in three coworkers' faces each and every week and ask Hickey, are they going to get engaged or not when he joins us, or engaged, invited to the wedding or not.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And then we get the yes or no. And Hickey said, I would do a lot for this show. That's something I don't feel comfortable doing. So I'm going to basically...
Well, what do you mean, Stu? You're throwing your hands up like yeah, you think that would not cause a lot of issues?
No,
it's a great idea.
It's a great idea.
It's fun.
Like, for example, Paul Rosenberg's not getting invited to your wedding, I would imagine.
Yeah, but what happens... Okay, this segment's going to go...
So he gets mad at you, whatever.
It's going to... Yeah, but I like Paul. I don't need him mad at me for no reason.
Who cares?
Okay, what happens when David's face comes in? Ryan Hurley's face comes in? What do I say?
You're not going to invite
him? I don't know. I have no idea.
Oh.
We haven't even talked to him. I have no
idea.
That's
what makes it a good segment.
But now all of a sudden, no, Greg said it for you, Greg said it for Stu, and Sam, they're terrible for me. It's an impossible situation.
You haven't realized you're usually the butt of all these jokes for all these years.
And so that was the one time where I said, I cannot get myself in trouble that way.
So you had three big life events this week. You got engaged.
Yes.
It was your 31st birthday. We're like, who really cares about 31st birthday?
Agreed.
And then also you caught a baseball at a baseball game last night.
That's right.
Were you happier about catching the baseball or are you happier about getting engaged?
Oh, that's a great question. I will say getting engaged.
Because you have to.
Because also that better be the only time I'm getting engaged in my life. Where in theory, if I go to another Mets game soon, hopefully I can get another ball. But that was the first time I ever caught a ball. Like that, you know, wasn't just like handed to
BP.
Well,
so I made this case earlier. I think you were more excited about the baseball. It's not for your love for your now fiance. But it's just more so you knew she was going to say yes. You didn't know when you were going to the baseball game in the, what were you saying, the 300 section?
Yes.
That you were going to catch a baseball, for crying out loud.
Right.
I think the baseball catch is more impressive than the 300 section
say,
than the engagement.
It was after the inning, like it was like the last out of the inning, infielder throws it up to like the, like
that's
it wasn't
impressive.
Like a foul. I'm not trying to poo-poo my, I guess, quote unquote accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was a foul ball, it'd be a little different. I think it'd be cooler in the moment.
Can versus. I ask you a question?
Sure.
Because we did 10 minutes in your engagement. Can I hold you here for 10 more minutes? Or could we talk college football when we come
sure.
on back?
Always. You know.
All right. Ryan Hickey going to join us for a second segment. And engage Ryan Hickey. You don't have two people that you're engaged to, right? It's just one, right?
Just one.
Okay.
Just one.
Just making sure.
I leave two for Stu.
Have you given your sports takes to your fiance yet?
Well, she listens to them every day. So.
Oh, man.
In the apartment. So she knows what she's signing up for.
Coming on back after these short messages.